It's been a really cool experience for me to feel in tune with my body and to be able to hear my body and listen to it and understand what it needs and kind of do this trial and error. And even like with the running, training for running, like I learned that applesauce pouches are what works best for me. And I'll have body armor or Gatorade in my pouch, in my like Camelback or whatever. And I'll alternate that with the applesauce pouches. And starting earlier, when you and I first started, I would cramp every single run. I would get the same cramp in the same spot, and it drove me crazy. And towards the end of my training, I can't tell you the last time I had a running cramp,
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad to
because
hear
I
that.
started fueling earlier and more often. And figure again, it was just like this kind of back and forth. And I think it's if you make it fun and again make it curious, as opposed to like, oh no, that didn't work. Like this sucks. I can't do it. It's like, okay, that didn't work. What else can we try? How about this? How about this? And you and I were able to kind of fine tune and go back and forth to the point where now I'm like, yes, I know what I need and what works. And if something's not working, I know what I need to try next. And it's very, I don't know, I think it's cool.
Hi, welcome to the Active Bariatric Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tirapelli, a bariatric sports dietitian, and I help post-bariatric clients achieve their fitness goals through better nutrition and addressing the problems that come from typical bariatric and sports nutrition advice that just don't work for an active bariatric lifestyle. Welcome to another episode of the Active Bariatric Nutrition Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Tirapelli, bariatric sports dietitian. Today, I am so excited to have on Lisa Hendon, also known as Leaning Into Lisa on Instagram. Lisa is a 35-year-old bariatric patient living in Washington, D.C. After struggling to lose weight her entire life, she made the decision to have gastric sleeve surgery in November of 2022 and has since lost 110 pounds. Lisa started her fitness journey 3 months post-op, ran her first race ever in October of 2023, and just completed a 10-mile race this past April. She is a huge advocate for mental health and has experienced firsthand how crucial the mental work is throughout any weight loss journey. Lisa recently started a podcast with two fellow bariatric friends called the Former Fat Friend Podcast, which she hopes will expand the sense of community in the bariatric world and help others feel less alone on their journeys. In addition to the podcast, Lisa is currently navigating maintenance and exploring new fitness goals while continuing to do the mental work and heal her relationship with food. Thanks so much for being here today, Lisa. I appreciate your time.
Hi, Kim. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here too. Thank you so much. I know we've talked about doing this for a long time, so I'm glad we finally, you know, sitting down and hitting record. So, yay.
Me too. Yay.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, let's start off just so folks can get to know you a little bit more. Can you tell everybody a little bit more about why did you choose to have bariatric surgery, you know, initially and how it's changed your life?
Yeah. I mean, I think my story in choosing bariatric surgery is similar to a lot of people's in that it's like that tale as old as time. I was overweight my whole life. I tried every possible thing. I did Weight Watchers. I did keto. I did, you know, I did all of these things. And surgery was kind of something for me. I knew it existed. It didn't really seem like an option. Like it was not for me. There was a stubbornness factor for sure. And like a shame. And I definitely fed into the stigma of like, no, I can do this. I don't need help. Cause I don't do well accepting or asking for help in anything in my life.
Sure.
So in that extended to bariatric surgery, like, no, I got it. I got it. I got it.
Yeah.
And I reached a point where it was just so hard. I had to be diligent and perfect and meticulous 24/7. And the second I had like one drink or one night out or one, you know, restaurant meal, whatever progress I had made, that I was just constantly starting over. I was constant like Groundhog Day almost. And then the weight just kept coming on and I couldn't get it to go back off. And I finally reached a point where I was like, I need something else. I reached, you know, my breaking point. I think a lot of people talk about that. And once I kind of made that, it took me a very long time to make that decision. And once I decided this is what I'm going to do, I was like full speed ahead. How can I do this? You know, and how can I give this my all? And it's changed my life in every way possible. That's such a big question. How has it changed
really
your
is.
Life? Like,
yeah.
It's changed everything. I don't know. We can go into like more specifics, but it's changed everything. It's changed my relationship with food. It's changed the way that I view food and nutrition. It's changed the way that I feel about myself and the way that I kind of present myself in the world to other people. I think it's allowed me to remove a mask that I have unknowingly had on my whole life. It's changed the way that I feel about movement and moving my body and just like the things that sound fun and interesting to me, even just like with friends talking about like active activities of shying away from them because I didn't feel capable. Like just the absence of so many, the addition of so many things and the absence of so many things. Yeah, it's changed everything.
Oh, I love to hear that. And I that's how I think, I know we first met at the bariatric retreat last year through, Rob and, you know, yeah. I kind of started to get to know you and then we started to work together here this past, January. And I feel like seeing all the things that you've been, achieving and, and I've listened to your podcast, which I'm excited to talk about today too, but just listening to your journey and like how, movement particularly wasn't like what some of the things that you're doing now, you never imagined that you were going to do or that you'd like doing, you know what I mean? And I find that so inspiring and cool because you think about like how your life can totally just, it's so different now, you know what I mean? Then perhaps, it might've been had you not had the surgery.
Yeah. I mean, I joke about that now because I used to always be very annoyed by people that worked out every day or were like regular gym rats, whatever you want to call them. And I think those feelings really stemmed from like jealousy and just like whatever, you know what I mean? Like if we totally. Really want to get deep about it.
Yeah.
But I was always disgusted. Like, yeah. God, why do you have to like, you're so into fitness. I don't get for you.
way to post your 5 a.m. sunset run, or 5 p.m. Like, nobody cares.
What are you doing?
But
now when people tell me I work out a lot, I'm like, what? I don't think it's unreasonable to set aside an hour every day to move my body. Like what? Like, who are you? Get out of here is how I feel about myself. Yeah, I drank the Kool-Aid. I fully drank the Kool-Aid. And I think the thing is just like feeling really, it was probably jealousy towards people.
Sure.
It's the same. It wasn't that I didn't do those things because I didn't feel capable. Right. Everything was so hard. I was so overweight and I wasn't like in comparison. I wasn't someone that started at 300-400 pounds. I think my highest was 257.
Okay.
And I'm 5'5" on a good day. and I literally don't know my height. I'm like,
after you do your stretching and you get an adjustment, right. That's an extra inch. I mean, it's there.
But yeah, I just like, I shied away from things because I knew I wasn't capable. Like I remember taking a yoga class and silently crying in the middle of the class because my fat was physically getting in the way of doing the things. It's not that I didn't want to be there, but the hindrances and the obstacles that I faced made it so unenjoyable.
Right.
And I attached feelings of fear to moving my body because I was so scared of not being able to do it. I was so scared of the like, what ifs or going, on a hike. What if I can't keep up with my friends? What if I can't do this? Or just knowing that I wouldn't be able to.
Sure.
Like, oh, you guys want to go rock climbing? No, I don't have the upper body strength to do that. Like, and now I do those things for fun.
Yeah.
Like now I'm excited to get in the gym because I do feel capable. Sure. Because I don't have those obstacles anymore. And it's like, that's why I started working with you. Cause I was like, oh, what else can I do? Oh, I did this. Oh, cool. What else can I do? Stuff I've never dreamed of doing, in my life, and movement became, it's no longer a chore.
Yeah.
It's something that I enjoy doing. It's something that I know makes me feel better. And when I have mental health stuff happening and I'm feeling whatever, like low or whatever, I'm like, when's the last time you moved your body?
Right.
Which is a question I can't believe I even asked myself. It's gone from like, all I did pre-surgery was the elliptical and I hated it and it was a chore and it was a punishment and it was how many calories do I need to burn to justify whatever I ate or whatever I'm going to eat and all of these rules and these calculations. Now it's just like, I don't know. It's so different. I do it because I enjoy it and I feel good. And I love feeling capable and I love being able to measure Like, oh, I used to have to modify that, or I used to not be able to hold that, and now I don't have to do that anymore. Or I used to max out at this weight, and now I'm doing this weight. And it's just, it's really cool to be able to see that change and to see all of these things that I am capable of that I never thought I was or would be.
That's so cool. You know, something that you said in your, I listened to your podcast, and there was an episode that you did on each of you do a, you know, episode on your own story. And I listened to yours. And you said something that really, I don't know, it touched me in that you said that when you were a kid and they would ask you to play tag, you didn't want to play because you were like, I don't want to play tag because I'm going to be the one that gets, I'm going to get tagged right away. So now I'm it and I can never tag anybody. And that story, my sister has always also struggled. And I remember watching some of the things that she struggled with in life in terms of being made fun of and things for her weight. And when you shared that, it really hit home with me because that I can't imagine how that felt, and that feels so painful. I mean, you know, and now that you're doing all these things, that's why I just celebrate your journey, because I think it's been such a great turnaround. But you know, anyways, I just wanted to say, bring that up because it really touched me when you shared that. And I appreciated your honesty in that.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, I do. I thought that was so, it's just, I think for people who are overweight and have been overweight their entire lives, there are just things other people don't think about.
Right.
You know what I mean? That things like worrying whether or not the seatbelt is going to fit, or the bar on the roller coaster, or just like, I'm blanking right now on other examples, but there are just, but sports is one of them. Worrying that no one's going to want to pick me for their team in school, worrying that I'm going to slow down. Slow down the team or slow down everybody. Right. I remember having to do a 1 mile warm up in my college gym class. And it was just a 1 mile around the campus, and you met back and we continued with gym. Yeah. And I snuck out and took a shortcut and went because I was like, they're going to have to wait so long for me. I'm going to hold up the whole class.
Right.
Just those insecurities and those fears, and tag was one of them. And my mom used to really try and get me to be active and involved. Yeah. And she'll say now, like, I wish I realized then, it's because, you know, I didn't get why you didn't want to do these things. And it's like, well, cause it wasn't fun.
No.
It wasn't fun because I was targeted, and they picked on me, and they knew that they could get me, and they knew I couldn't catch them. And it felt impossible. So it wasn't a game for me. It was like a sentence.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And that kind of brings me, so it sounds like, and we're going to get into obviously all the things that you're doing now, but so before bariatric surgery, because now you're lifting, you're running, I mean, you do all these great things. Was there outside of like the elliptical or other things, was there other type of, did you used to lift, for example? Did you used to run at all or do any kind of races, you know, prior to surgery?
No, I mean, I used to like go for walks around my neighborhood, and I remember trying to do like a minute of running at a time.
Okay.
And that would be, you're being so sweet right now. And like, yeah, great. That's so great. 1 minute.
You gotta start somewhere. No. But I just mean, you know, everybody has, you know, some folks like, cause I've heard from some people that were like, you know, I tried it or I did, and then I got injured. And you know, I mean, it's
totally,
you know, totally.
No, mine different. Was just like 60 seconds was I am gasping for air, doubled over. I could not possibly run longer than this.
Right.
So I would do that sporadically, and I just kind of chalked it up like, no, I'm just not a runner. Literally my catchphrase all the time was, this body's not made for running. If there was something that involved running, I was like, this body's not built for running, like hard pass.
We don't do this.
No, I think anytime, cause I've definitely had periods in my life where I lost weight, and anytime that happened, my sole form of exercise, I think, was the elliptical. It was cardio 3 days a week. The only other thing I can remember doing that I truly enjoyed, there was a group class at the Y near where I lived when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for a bit. Mm-hmm. It was like a dance hip hop class. And it was this woman, I think like in her 50s, who could shake her junk like no one I have ever seen before in my life. Yeah. And it was the most like amazing energy, fun, like dance hip hop class. And I looked forward to it every single week and had so much fun. And I would burn like 500-600 calories, like intense, high intensity cardio, like, and I did that for as long as I possibly can. And last year I found something comparable here in DC where I live. But I've been looking for something like that ever since. That's the one thing I can remember. And I've always been, I love hikes. I love hikes. But I am this like, for, there's something about like, I only like hikes when I'm not at home. Like if I'm on vacation, I'm like, oh, what hikes do they have?
Yeah.
But I live like near national parks and I live near so many pretty things. And I'm like, meh. Like I don't hike at home. I'm always like, oh, what? So I'm trying to get better about exploring my more like local hikes. But yeah, really elliptical, sporadic hiking, the dance class for a period. But movement, it was just always a chore and it was not fun. And it came in spurts. I did not have a regular fitness routine prior to surgery. It was like, am I trying to actively lose weight now? But I didn't move my body because it was good to move my body. I moved my body because I didn't feel good about my body.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. So then how would you say your mindset now around movement? I know you've said a little bit about how it, you know, you enjoy it because it makes you feel good. Have you noticed any other mindset changes around, you know, movement and the different goals that you have with, you know, your training and your running, anything that you've seen kind of your evolution, so to speak, around your mindset with movement?
Yeah. I mean, I think overall the biggest change is that things feel exciting instead of daunting. I feel excited to set new goals and to achieve new milestones and accomplishments and that sort of thing. And I think, the mindset is just that, like we touched on, it's because it feels good to move my body, not because I'm punishing myself or because I need to do this or, and the movement's not attached to the scale anymore, which is huge.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of in maintenance. I could maybe lose like 5-10 more pounds if I really tried, maybe.
Yeah.
But I've been at the same weight for almost 6 months now.
Right.
So moving my body is not tied to weight loss, and it always had been before. So that's been a huge shift. And I just think I would say that's the biggest mindset, is just that it's feels good and it feels fun to challenge myself, and it feels exciting because I feel capable. Yeah. Like now when I have a personal trainer, and now he used to demo something and I'd be like, no, I can't do that. And like truly, like you're laughing, but I would be like terrified, like no, you don't understand. And he's really cute too, so I like didn't want to look like a fool in front of him. Right. Like I'm like no. Right. And now he'll demo something, and I'm like, bet, okay, excuse me, step aside, got it. I don't need you to demo it. I can do it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that like is such a drastic change.
It sounds like your confidence
feels incredible.
Yeah, your confidence has improved in terms of just being able to do all these new things. You know what I mean? And feeling good about it. You know, I think that's really cool. That's a cool place to be.
I do. I feel confident because I'm learning. I have a lot of trust issues. Yeah. And I'm learning to trust myself. I'm learning that I can trust myself, and that I am taking care of my body, and that my body will take care of me, and it's got me, and like that I can listen to my body and I can trust it. And that I can do these things, because I think a lot of it for me was mental. There was a mental block of like, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that, or I'm not strong enough for that, or I'm not fit enough for that. And the confidence has definitely, videos help a lot too. I want like, take the videos, take the pictures. My trainer will take videos of me every so often. And this weekend he took one and I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, is that a good or a bad? Are you kidding me? And I was like, I can't believe that's my body. Are you kidding me? Like, that's I love me.
That. Yes. Hell yes. I love that. No, I know. That's why when you post things like your workouts and things and things that you're doing, I love that. I love to see like, you know, the transformations and just because it does sometimes, you know, like when I talk to folks and they're kind of, you know, we look at the scale and it's like, oh, the number's not moving, but like there's other things that are happening. Like you're gaining muscle, you're losing body fat, your cholesterol is going down, your blood pressure is going down. I mean, things that you can't just see are happening, and it's not always just reflected on the scale. And muscle tone and definition are not things that generally you can get on the scale and see. You have to actually have, sometimes it's a good outside perspective, you know, to get the view from what other people are seeing too. When you see like a video or a picture, that's really cool. I love to see that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what are you doing right now? So what's a typical week look like for you? You know, what are your current training goals?
Well, I just ran a 10-mile race and I hurt myself a teeny tiny little bit. Turns out I have some IT band issues, which you called out months and months and months ago.
Just from one runner to another, because you know what? Been there and it sucks and it is no good. It feels like crap. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember pretty vividly, Kim, you said to me, hey, that sounds like it might be your IT band. Don't ignore that because it will not go away and it will get worse. And ding, 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 Kim was right.
Damn it.
And I waited a little too long to do anything about it. So I am currently not allowed to run and I am in physical therapy twice a week, which is going well. And I asked today, I had PT and I said, like, when am I cleared to run? And she was like, well, we're going to do a little bit. She was like, when going downstairs doesn't hurt anymore, then we'll see how you feel. And I was like, okay, fine.
All right. Got it.
So I'm going a little stir crazy, which also feels weird to say that I'm like, I just want to run. And she's like, what about like a power walk? And I'm like, ew, no, there's nothing wrong with a power walk. There is nothing. Right. I am not like judging. I'm not, but I'm like, no, I want like heart pumping sweat. I want the run drugs, Kim. Yes. Like I want the adrenaline. I want the endorphins. Like I crave them.
I get it. No, and once you get to that, yeah, you're like, I feel good. You've been working for a long time, and that's why I knew it was.
Yeah.
When you were telling me where it hurt, I was like, oh gosh, please, you know, I hope it's not, because I know that that's a nagging injury and it's hard and it does take time, and you really do have to let it heal because otherwise it just hangs around. And so, and you were, you know, you'd just been building up, and you kind of, please share with everyone instead of me paraphrasing it, share with everyone how you just decided like, oh, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and do this 10-mile run. And I was like, wow, that's a jump. And I was like, okay, well, guess what? We got to change your nutrition. Like, you know, we kind of like, you know, so share with everyone that little journey.
I, you know, am a bandwagon girly and I have big FOMO. And my friend Casey was like, hey, I'm going to run the Cherry Blossom 10 miler, which for anyone that doesn't know, DC has these gorgeous cherry blossom trees that bloom every spring. The Japanese gave them to us and they're gorgeous and they're in bloom for a few weeks. And so this run is all along the tidal basin and around the trees, except all the trees were dead and gone by the time the race happened.
That's unfortunate. We might need to rename it.
But it's fine. So it's a lottery system. A lot of people sign up and you have to get picked. And so my friend was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm not going to get picked. Like I never win anything. I'm just going to sign up, you know, cause FOMO and fear of missing out. Right. And then I got picked and I was like, well, crap, now I got to do it.
How dare you pick me?
And that all, I mean, honestly, like if we take it a step, can we talk a little bit about like how I, cause my running, I kind of started running on my own, just willy nilly. Like there was no, I didn't have a goal. I didn't have anything I was working towards. I just thought, let me see what I can do.
Right.
And I started just like I used to years ago going around my neighborhood. I would do 1 minute of running and then I would do 4 minutes of walking and I would alternate those intervals. And then when I felt like, and like twice a week I would do that. And when I felt like I could increase, I would do 2 minutes of running and 3 minutes of walking and then 3 minutes of running and 2 minutes of walking. And then I started to see like, well, how long can I run without stopping? Yeah. And it was like, oh, I can run 5 minutes. I can run 9 minutes. I can run 15 minutes. I remember being like the first time I ran 15 minutes without stopping. I was like, I ran more than a mile. I ran a whole mile and I didn't stop. Like I was That's so awesome. Excited. And then this last fall, same friend, Casey, bully, huge run bully she is, was like, do you want to do the 5 miler, the Oktoberfest 5 miler with me? And it was in 2 weeks from the time she asked me. And I had never run a race before in my life. And I don't think I had ever run, I had never even done a 5K. And I went to my trainer and I was like, hey, could I run a 5 mile race in 2 weeks? And he was like, yeah, I'll put a plan together for you. You got it. And I was like, okay.
Okay. I guess we're doing this.
So I guess we're doing that. And I had already signed up for the 5K at the bariatric retreat, which was a few weeks later. And I was like, guys, should I be doing a 5 mile before I do a 5K? Like, incrementally, shouldn't like, what? So no, I did it. And it was, it was one of those things I didn't have really time to psych myself out because it was so fast. And it was like, oh, I have literally 2 weeks. And I did it and it was like the greatest feeling ever. So then when the 10 mile came, I was like, well, it's only, I already did five. So it's just like five. Just double.
I mean, it's just double. Like, it's just 5 miles and then just turn around and come back. It's fine.
That's what I'm like. Yeah, so it just, it did it. I didn't have like some grand plan, but it was one of those things again, where once I started doing it and realizing I was capable, it became a curiosity. That's something my therapist annoyingly is very helpful and always like driving home for me is like remove the judgments and replace them with curiosity. Like instead of judging yourself and having worry thoughts, what if you were just curious about like, and annoyingly, it's actually quite helpful. I recommend it.
it works. Damn it.
It works. She earned her paycheck. But yeah, when I started to become curious about like, I wonder, that's cool. I did that. What else can I do? It does have its limits. Like if I ever come to you and say, I'm ready to run a marathon, tell me, no, you don't want to run a marathon. I promise you, like I'm clearly on drugs or something because maybe a half at this point, I'm like, oh, a half's just 3 more miles,
3 more miles. That's just a 5K. But
I don't know about a marathon. I'm super impressed by all the people that could do it. It's just too much running for me.
Never say never, my friend. You never know. And that's true. Like challenges. You're right. You like challenges. And if anything that I've learned from you is when you put your mind to it, you're doing it come hell or high water.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
This is happening today
I
or whenever.
I appreciate that. I do. Yeah. I don't give up once I set my mind to something. But clearly, because this IT band was like, there were a lot of people that were like, maybe you shouldn't run this race. And I was like, the F I'm not. Like, No. I signed up for this race. Like, I got a bib number. I'm running it. What do you mean? So I said to my physical therapist, I was like, listen, the race is in 6 days. I'm running it. Will you help me get through it? And she was like, you know what? I appreciate your honesty. I have a lot of people that would lie to me and tell me that they're not running and then they do it anyway and make it worse. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm doing it. I just don't think I'm a distance girly. I think I'd like to some of the goals, you and I haven't even really talked about them yet, but I would like to focus on my time, like hitting a certain, like I am a quote unquote slow runner. I think that's very subjective, but I average like a 12 to 13 minute mile, I would say. Sure.
Yeah.
I think my fastest mile ever is a 10:50. Okay. So I would love to do a 10-minute mile. And then I would love to be able to do a 30-minute 5K, which would be slightly less than a 10-minute mile. So, it's the goals are always shifting and changing. It's like, now I know I can go far.
Yeah.
Can I go fast?
Can you go faster? Yeah.
Yeah.
And oftentimes too, especially with the shorter goals, I mean, it sometimes can be more realistic to fit into real life because you're busy. And when you have shorter, races or things that you're training for, then you're not out there. Cause that's one thing I will say about, half and full marathon is the training program is substantial in terms of the amount of time you have to spend running mileage, and putting the mileage in and it takes more time. But back to the original question in terms of like your I want to make sure I will forget to ask you this, but like right now, can you tell folks like you're lifting and you're running just because what I love about what you do both. And I get a lot of folks that are afraid to lift who run because they feel like, it's going to make me slower or I'm gaining muscle. Mm-hmm. So I'm bulkier and now I'm going to be slower. And it's like, no, it's helping you get stronger and actually preventing injury. So can you kind of just share like, what does a typical week look like right now?
Yeah. First of all, muscles are hot. Okay. So if you're scared of muscles, don't be scared of muscles. Yes. I love feeling and looking strong.
Yeah.
I do both. I got off on a tangent cause I can't run right now. Normally I would run and incorporate cardio. So I normally try to do two to 3 days of cardio. And usually one of that is that like hip hop dance class I mentioned, and then a couple days of running. I do ClassPass. I've learned that if I am just going to work out on my own, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
There has to be somebody else counting on me. And I love the variety. So I do a few different things through ClassPass every week. I do the hip hop dance class. I started taking bar a little under a year ago and I've become obsessed. It's made a huge, it's one of those things too, where the first time I went, I was like, what? People do this? Like, this is hard.
Yeah.
And now I love it. Now I look forward to it. it's made a huge difference in my strength and my balance and my mobility and that sort of thing. And
core.
It's a very, my core, oh my God, yes. And it's so low intensity.
Yeah.
And it's all of these tiny little movements that really work so many muscles. And it, I love that it's everything. Like it's exercise, but it's also, they make sure there's a good amount of stretching incorporated and you do like group breath work together at the end. And that, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of a very well-rounded hour. Mm-hmm. So I do bar once or twice a week. I do the hip hop class. I have a personal trainer that I work out with. I used to do 30 minutes with him twice a week. Now I do 1 hour once a week. Okay. I find that I get more, when you and I started working together, it was like 30 minutes isn't really cutting it. Like let's maybe condense these. And that also gave me more room to fit in runs by condensing the personal training. And then I love F45 too. So sometimes I'll do like, I would say 2 to 3 strength days, which would be like bar, personal training, F45, and then 2 to 3 cardio days, which is like hip hop dance, running. I got to figure out, I haven't done cardio since my race because I'm grumpy that I can't run.
I know.
And I have to do like low impact. I could do like a, I don't know, like a boot camp or something on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could cycle. Maybe I should try that. Somebody said rowing the other day. I'm like, oh, I could be into rowing.
Yeah. That's very full body.
I'm just being grumpy because I want to run.
You want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Damn it. How dare you IT band?
I would say, yeah, that's such a biatch, that IT band.
I know.
But yeah, I would say like an hour a day, 5 days a week. I try to have two rest days in there, a weekend rest day and a midweek weekday rest day.
And I think that's a good balance. I think you do a variety of different things. And again, another thing with running particularly is, you know, running does take its toll on your body, on legs. And if there's things that are tight or you don't stretch, I mean, it catches up to you eventually, you know? And I think that strength training and doing, you know, the bar and the part that has stretching and, you know, I've had people that do some yoga in there. It's fantastic because you're doing different things for all of your muscle groups in different ways. And it's not just the same, you know, pounding on the same muscle groups, you know, day in and day out.
Right.
So I think that's a really good, you know, balanced approach. And in terms of, let's just briefly just kind of start talking a little bit more about the nutrition side of it. So compared to obviously when you first had surgery into where you are now, your nutrition has become more focused on fueling, you know, for all these great, you know, fitness and movement goals. How would you say your nutrition has changed really over time, maybe in the last 6 months or so?
Oh, well, it's definitely changed. I eat more now. I still sometimes freak out about how much I eat. And I remember when you and I started working together, I tracked meticulously for probably the first 6 to 8 months after surgery, meticulous to the point where some of the people I was working with, my therapist and my dietitian at the time, were like, this is too rigid and we're worried that you have too many rules and too many restrictions and that you're tying too much to this number.
Yeah.
And so I had stepped away from tracking and had continued to see success. And then I remember when you and I started, I was terrified. I think you wanted to start me at like 1600 or 1700 calories. And I was like, Kim, no, it's too many. That's too many.
Right.
And so you were like, okay, you were so great. You were like, okay, baby steps. Like we'll start a little smaller. Yeah. And then I started tracking and it was like, oh no, it turns out I am already eating 1600 calories.
It was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm actually already there. And I was like, oh, well, and I think it was because from what you were sharing with your eating, I was thinking, I was like, just listening to what you were doing without the actual log, it sounded like you were, I thought maybe you were around like 14, 15, 16, that's where I kind of was thinking that you were at.
Yeah.
And then with the amount of movement you were doing though, and when we first started, you were like, you know, I'm tired a lot, or you wanted to make sure that you would still be able to see some muscle gains, but also still focused on, you know, some leaning out and things like that. So to do that, we were talking about, okay, well, we want to make sure we're giving adequate fuel to your body so that you can get through these great workouts, get the most out of them so that you can see those muscle gains, but also recover properly and be able to do this again because you work out quite a bit. And I think, I know it sounds daunting sometimes when kind of numbers are placed out in front, and some folks don't do great with numbers. Like they don't want to know numbers. They just want to know, like, should I be eating more carbs or should I be, you know what I mean? Like, should I be focusing on more protein? And I think in your case, you kind of did, you encompass both of those things, because we knew that we needed to shift in a little bit more carbohydrate to fuel, because you're doing all the cardio, you were going to be doing this running. But also at the same time, you wanted to really know, you wanted to know, you know, like, where am I at? What should I be doing? You know? And so we got more into some numbers, but yeah, I think you've kind of gradually increased just slightly. I mean, we haven't really taken big jumps, but
no, we haven't. And I knew that I needed the biggest thing. Like there were several times in a training session where I would be in the middle of a set and my trainer would say, I need you to eat more. Like he could literally tell, which was mind blowing to me. So it was like, I knew I needed to do something. So I think the biggest thing, that we did was increase the carbs. Mm-hmm. I was fairly scared of carbs.
Right.
And I don't know that I want to say I was scared of them. I shied away from them. And when I was building a plate, I was definitely not asking myself, what's my carb in this meal? I was asking myself, what's my protein? What's my veggie? And for a while, there wasn't room. You know what I mean? For most bariatric patients, there's just not room for carbohydrates.
Absolutely.
And then I noticed such a difference. Just like, I don't think I had a single banana from the time I had surgery until I started working with you. And you were like, maybe a banana before a run or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
I feel like that needs to be like, that needs to be like my tagline or something, because I so many folks are like, oh my God, I started eating bananas. It's changed my life. And I'm like, geez. I mean, and what I always say to people is, I'll be like, you know, you could just try something like a banana or applesauce. But I swear now I feel like everyone probably thinks like, I tell everyone like, you have to eat a banana. But
that's literally what I do. Banana and applesauce. The other thing too, I was just uneducated. And I say that as a neutral statement, not as a negative, whatever. Like I was uneducated and I was eating a lot of protein before my workout.
Right.
And it was you who taught me like, actually protein is going to kind of block the carbs from getting to your body and your body's not going to be able to utilize them as fuel. So I was going into a workout, like eating a protein bar, doing things that, and we were able to really tailor and learn. It's been really cool for me to learn what type of nutrition my body needs based on what I'm doing. Like, and I know now if I'm going for a run, I'm having a banana on a rice cake with some PB2, which is like a peanut butter powder that's lower in fat. And I know that if I'm lifting, I'm going to add in a Greek yogurt with that, because I was starting to notice that halfway through my hour sessions, I was getting hungry. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I came to you and I was like, it's not cutting it on the list. And you were like, it's so personalized, right? Because I am very lucky in that I have not had really intolerances with food. I can tolerate most things and I can tolerate food before I work out. But it's been a learning process. And now I feel like I have a really great system where it's like, no, I know based on what kind of, but it's so many numbers and math, and it's like, okay, well, I want to make sure I eat this X number of minutes before this workout. And I also know I'm going to need to drink and I need to do this. And I feel like I'm constantly like racing a clock and doing math of like, when do I need to eat this meal or getting up a little earlier? Because I think the other thing I was doing was I was eating too close to the workout. So I wasn't giving enough time for those carbs to get utilized again. My body, it's like, oh, I ate them and I didn't give my body time to like utilize them.
Exactly.
So yeah, now it's nutrition is like, I don't know. It's so different. It's just like, I'm eating based on what my body needs, and taking care of myself for the first time in my life, which is really cool. And yeah, I think the carbs, just like having a carb at every meal now is something.
Just balancing.
It was freeing, honestly. It wasn't even scary. Maybe for a hot second it was scary, but I think truthfully, more than anything, it was like freedom. It was like, oh my God, I can have rice. This is okay. Like this is like, wait, what? And spoiler alert, I've been doing it and I still weigh the same and I ran 10 miles. And
right. Like, you know, and I think that's so important because so to summarize kind of the things you're saying, so because I want to reiterate what you mentioned, because I think it's really important for folks to hear it. Carbohydrates are so important pre-workout. Especially for when you do running, because you're really drawing upon carbohydrates in endurance type of runs and things like that. And also folks don't generally want things that are going to be sitting in their stomach when they're running because of the bouncing, and it can feel uncomfortable. And versus, like you mentioned, you were lifting and you're like, I'm really feeling like hungry in the workout. And I was like, well, this is in for lifting. If you want to have a little bit more protein or maybe even something a little bit, you know, denser, because you're not bouncing around, you're taking more rest breaks. The carbohydrate plus protein pre-workout before like a lift is tolerated very well most of the time by folks. And so that's where I was like, yeah, the Greek yogurt, do it, because hopefully that'll help. And again, you don't want to overdo it. And again, we don't want you to feel overly full also in a lift, but usually the carb protein mix pre-workout for a lift is okay. Cause I get that question quite a bit. Like, what if I lift? Do I have to just do carbs? And I'm like, you know, really it comes down to how you feel and, you know, how you're feeling in the workout, what you can tolerate. But for endurance training, for my runners and things like that, usually we want to, as we're getting closer to the start of that, we want to focus primarily just on carbohydrates. So it's available. We want to kind of just give our body what it needs so that you can make it, you know, through the run and keep a good pace. So, and it sounds like those things have worked for you then.
They totally have. And you're so right. I mean, it's what you can tolerate, and it's really cool. It's been a really cool experience for me to feel in tune with my body and to be able to hear my body and listen to it and understand what it needs and kind of do this trial and error. And even like with the running, training for running, like I learned that applesauce pouches are what works best for me. And I'll have Body Armor or Gatorade in my pouch, in my like Camelback or whatever. And I'll alternate that with the applesauce pouches. And starting earlier, when you and I first started, I would cramp every single run. I would get the same cramp in the same spot, and it drove me crazy. And towards the end of my training, I can't tell you the last time I had a running cramp. Because I started fueling earlier and more often, and it was just like this kind of back and forth. And I think it's, if you make it fun and again, make it curious, as opposed to like, oh no, that didn't work. Like, this sucks. I can't do it. It's like, okay, that didn't work. What else can we try?
Yeah.
How about this? How about this? And you and I were able to kind of fine tune and go back and forth to the point where now I'm like, yes, I know what I need and what works. And if something's not working, I know what I need to try next. And I think it's cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know when we were talking too, just real quick about the in-run fueling, we were looking at like, so the important things for, you know, endurance running are the carbohydrates, the fluids, the electrolytes. And so we were taking a look at what you were doing. And if I remember right, you were using a fluid that didn't have like a high enough sodium content. So we switched to something that had a more balanced sodium amount, because that's really the electrolyte you're losing in your sweat. And so when you're looking at, you know, sports nutrition products, like I've had people be like, oh, I'm using Ultima. And I'm like, Ultima's really not a sports replacement electrolyte because it's so low in sodium. It's more of a day-to-day, hey, I want to add some flavor to my drink. Great. Use Ultima. That's fine. But for sports, you know, an electrolyte for when you're, and I keep saying sports, but movement, exercise where you're sweating, you're losing fluids, you're losing a higher concentration of sodium to potassium in your sweat. And that's why folks, when you were saying you were cramping, we were trying to rule out, is it inadequate carbohydrate? Is it dehydration? Is it an electrolyte issue? And so we tried to target each of those areas. And it sounds like, you know, I think you've upped your carbohydrates. You were more consistent and you started earlier, and we added some salt to your
Sure. Yeah. And I think that that's really important, because that's not something that I knew in terms of electrolytes. Somebody, you know, a company calls something an electrolyte and it's marketing, and we just think like, oh, great, I'm getting electrolytes. Yep. But then you look at the sodium and it'll be like 75 milligrams. And I'm like, wait, no, I need like 500 milligrams of sodium. Like,
we need more.
That's not. Yeah. That's not enough. So yeah, I was doing like Body Armor Light, which has great carbs.
Right.
But the electrolytes, it has potassium. It doesn't have sodium.
Right.
So I still do Body Armor because I bought so much of it and I want to drink it. But I'll add a liquid IV pouch in with the, so it's kind of like a half and half, and that way I'm getting and then I also have like Gatorade with G2 or whatever that has
the same.
So finally, but I think that's so, it wasn't, I think you made a post on it actually that made me realize, oh, not all electrolyte drinks are the same. And you do have to actually look at the label and see how much.
Yeah. What's in it?
How much sodium is in here? Yeah.
I honestly, the Prime and the Body Armor. Yeah. There's been a lot of like, you know, social media from like dietitians or sports dietitians that have been like, you know, yes, these taste delicious, except for that they're super high in potassium and they're not great for they don't have a lot of salt in them. So you got to get your salt one way or another. Like, I've had people that are like, no, I like Prime. I'm using it. And I'm like, okay, great. Where are we going to get the salt from? So let's find something else to pair with that. Again, it has to be individualized to your taste, what you tolerate, but we still have to replace what we're losing. Otherwise, you're going to bonk, or you're not going to feel good, or you're going to have cramping.
Right.
And, you know, so we have to tailor that. But so last question then on just any, just tying it together, any big, you know, nutrition lessons that maybe, you know, you wish you had known before that you are glad now that you're utilizing or that you've learned over this course of, you know, your journey since you had surgery?
I don't know that there's anything I wish I had known. I think a lot of these things I had to learn. I had to go through the process. And I can say like, oh, I wish I had gotten there faster, but I don't, you know, everyone's journey is individualized. And I think the biggest thing is that as humans, as bariatric patients, and also as humans, we do a lot of comparing. And I think early on in my journey, and even still today, I'm still human, like comparing happens. Yeah. What am I eating versus what is this other person eating? And how come I can eat more than they can eat? Or why are their calories less than my calories? Or just all of these comparing, and none of that matters. I think that's the one thing that I would tell myself or someone else, like, no, the only person you should be comparing yourself to is you. And like, if you listen to your body and listen to what you need, that's what matters. Like, this isn't anyone else's journey. This is your journey. Figure out what works for you and do that. Who the hell cares what anybody else is doing? Because that's their journey. That's not your journey. And I, you know, our bodies have all been through a lot. I've certainly put my body through a lot. I've mistreated my body a lot. And that's a relationship that needed healing and is still going. I'm healing my relationship with food. I'm healing my relationship with my body, with my mind. Like, all of these things have, you know, been a struggle. And, just, you know, worry about yourself. Don't worry about anybody else.
Yeah. Keep on your blinders and absolutely. Yeah. And something that you mentioned earlier too, that I thought was, you know, a good point was it's hard to ask for help sometimes. And it's hard to, you know, it's, you don't know what you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's like, and then it, the next step is like, oh, okay. I don't think I know enough about this that I need to, in terms of I'm going to try this new cool goal. And I feel like crap, you know, like I need help, you know, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
And finding someone that, you know, is an expert in whatever area that is, whether it's, you know, working with a personal trainer and getting a great workout routine that's efficient and effective and, you know what I'm saying, or nutrition or whatever. I feel like I've heard that from lots of folks is just, it was okay to ask someone else for help and to learn some new things, you know, and incorporate that in their journey.
It is okay to ask for help. And I think the other thing that's really important is to meet yourself where you're at.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think sometimes it's really easy to have this all or nothing mentality. I know it's certainly something I'm guilty of myself. And we have this like, oh, okay, I'm going to be a gym girl. I'm going to go hard 6 days a week. I started one day a week. And once I felt like that was a routine, I added in something else. It was a very slow build. And even working with you, I think just like you're saying, someone was like, no, I like Prime. I'm drinking it. You're not over there being like, no, you absolutely, if you drink Prime, this isn't going to work. Like, no, you met that person where they were. Okay. How are we going to, and I think that's something we can all do with ourselves. It's like, number one, start small and meet yourself where you are. Don't set these lofty goals that are setting yourself up for failure. Take baby steps. This is lifelong. There's no finish line. So there's really no rush. This is a very slow and steady process. This is not first one to the end, because there really is no end.
Right.
Just, you know, meet yourself where you're at, be patient, give yourself grace, and one step, one day at a time.
I love that. That's great advice. No. Well, then I'm not going to have to ask you that question, because I was going to say some advice and there it is. There it is right there. Clipping it. Love it. So let's talk about your podcast. Can you share with folks, you know, who are you doing your podcast with, the name of it, what it's about, so that folks can listen to it?
Yeah. So I started a podcast with my two friends, Allie and Casey. We met, so we all live in the DC area, and there is a fantastic meetup group called the DMV Bariatric Meetup. that I found just as someone going on my journey, because I found that when I was newly post-op, I was terrified. Terrified of everything all of the time. Nobody in my life had experienced this. I had people that I knew, but like my circle didn't understand, and I didn't understand. I didn't know what was happening, and I didn't know what was okay. And I had all these fears and all these worries, and I found a great sense of community through people on Instagram. And I went to a brunch and I already had been following Casey. She's at Maintaining Casey, and she's lovely and wonderful. And I had been following her. She founded the Bariatric Meetup Group with our other friend, Elle. And I went to this brunch and I sat next to Allie, and she was like, I was newly post-op. She was about to start her liquid diet. And the three of us found such a sisterhood with each other. They are my two closest friends right now. We have a group chat that's constantly going off, and we'll go just for morning walks together. We'll go do like a work from home together at a cafe. And we were having all of these really wonderful conversations, and we found this sense of community. And it was like, well, other people might want this too. Like, not to be presumptuous, but yeah. This is like, I think there's a need for this. And we would have these meetup groups, and they would be so beneficial and so helpful. And it was like, let's expand this out. So it's called the Former Fat Friend Podcast, because we've all been the fat friend. We're trying to dispel like stigmas with the word fat. Just in case you see Former Fat Friend Podcast and you want to come for us. Like, I mean, you can come for us if you want, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And we, there's a mix of like us talking about our experiences and our journeys, and we're all at different phases in our journeys, sure. Which I think is cool that we can kind of compare and contrast and all have our own unique perspectives. And it's been like, I don't know, it's not really something I ever thought I would do, but it's been really incredible. And the feedback so far has been really nice. And I want to help other people. This was a life-changing journey for me, and I don't want anyone to feel alone or lost. And so if there's any, if this podcast can help people feel a sense of community and belonging and dispel some fears, like, that's all I could ever ask for. So, yeah. Oh,
I love that. Okay. And does it have its own Instagram page, the podcast itself, or can we follow just each of you individually and you guys have it tagged?
You can follow us each individually. Okay. I'm at Leaning Into Lisa. Casey is at Maintaining Casey. Allie is at Allie's Losing It _RNY. And then the podcast is at Former Fat Friend Pod.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect.
So many
that's
things.
So that's where everyone, you guys can follow Lisa as well as Casey and Allie, and then also the podcast. Cause I just started listening to it too, because I know it's brand new. So there's only a couple episodes out right now, and I really enjoyed it. And honestly, just listening to three women talk, you guys you're funny, you're relatable. Oh, I mean, I've really enjoyed it. And I got to even learn more about you personally too, just listening to your, sharing your journey on that episode. So I really appreciated that. So thank you for so much for being on my podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you guys go give Lisa a follow, please. I'll tag the podcast, her Instagram account too, as well in the show notes. So you can go directly and follow her there and start listening wherever you get your podcasts. And then in the meantime, you can watch the full video of this podcast episode on my YouTube channel, the Active Bariatric Nutrition channel. So make sure to subscribe, give it a like. And also, if you wouldn't mind just sharing this podcast with someone that you think would find it helpful, I would so greatly appreciate that, so we can get it out and help as many people as possible. And then if you'd like to follow me on my social media, I am on Instagram, Active Bariatric, as well as on my Facebook and TikTok channels. And if you'd like to learn more about my one-to-one bariatric nutrition coaching services, please go to my website, which is activebariatricnutrition.com, and feel free to schedule a discovery call so that we can learn more about each other. And we will do this again next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. And Lisa, thank you so much again. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Gail.
All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great week. Take care.